Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Produce Buzzers Podcast. We are so happy you have joined us today, and I think you will be too after the show is over, because you will learn a lot about fresh fruits and vegetables, how to select and store them, how to prepare and cook them, and surprising facts about their history and origin. We hope it inspires you to eat more fresh fruits and vegetables, not only for your health, but also for your delight and pleasure as you explore their amazing world of taste and delicious flavors. Eating more of them will transform your life in so many positive ways. So settle back, relax, and get ready for another delicious adventure with the Produce Buzzers. Greetings, Produce Buzzers podcast fans, and welcome to another delicious episode of the Produce Buzzers podcast. I'm Edwin Stepp, your host and executive editor of producebuzz.com. I'm joined once again by Teresa Nolan, the founder and president of Produce Buzz, along with Rick Stepp and Cynthia Benedetto, both contributing editors to Produce Buzz. Now, Produce Buzzers podcast fans, today's guest has been practicing and teaching medicine for almost 40 years. He is going to tell us about a superfood that you should be eating every day to build and sustain your health. It's a food you know well and perhaps are eating very often, but most likely you are not eating it in the way that is the most nutritious way to consume it. And those that know this secret say this way to eat them is the most delicious way to eat them. This week, we have Dr. Philip Flexen, along with his daughter, Lauren Marcinkowski, CEO of the Luray Peanut Company in Hardeeville, South Carolina, just across the border from Savannah, Georgia. Lauren was a guest with us earlier this year and enlightened us about the superfood qualities of peanuts, and especially boiled peanuts. She has accomplished a lot in the business world and is now running her family's company, Growing and Packaging Peanuts. Under her leadership, Luray Peanut Company is spreading the gospel of boiled peanuts to more and more people. Her father, Dr. Flexen, is an otolaryngologist. Did I say that right?
Well done.
I learned that new word reading his resume and preparing for this show. It's a technical term for an ear, nose, and throat specialist. So there you go. New word of the day for you, Produce Buzz fans. Dr. Flexen obtained his medical degree in 1984 from Case Western Reserve School of Medicine in Cleveland, Ohio. He did graduate training at several hospitals associated with Harvard Medical School, including Beth Israel Hospital and Boston Children's Hospital. In addition to his private practice, he served for many years in various capacities at the Memorial University Medical Center in Savannah, Georgia. He has written dozens of articles for various journals and been invited to present at many conferences in his field of expertise. But Dr. Flexen's expertise goes well beyond that specialization, as he has studied extensively into nutritional science in his many years of practicing medicine. So he joins us today as the medical nutritional consultant for Luray Peanut Company. Dr. Flexen, thanks for joining us. And Lauren, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Excited to be here.
Great. I'm very excited to have you. We're going to learn a lot today. Now, we normally don't like to get too technical on this show, assuming that most of our audience are not scientists. But today, Dr. Flexen is such an expert, I want to get right down into the nitty-gritty nutritional and plant science, right down to every bioactive phenol and amino acid. I want to get geeky with arginine and resveratrol. We will be nerdy with phenolic acids and flavonoids, and we will be dorky with nitrogen and ammonia. But first, let's learn a little bit more about Dr. Flexen. Tell us, Dr. Flexen, how did you get into medicine and why did you choose the field of your expertise?
Well, like a lot of things, it usually comes down to people. But I think I had broad interests because before I went to medical school, I got a graduate degree in genetics at Vanderbilt. So undergraduate, then graduate school, then medical school. Okay. And of course, you go through your rotations in medicine and whatnot. And generally, there's somebody there who you kind of get almost like a crush on. You want to be like that doctor. So
yeah.
I actually found my hero at a surgeon at the Cleveland Clinic, actually, because the Cleveland Clinic were one in part parcel at the time I went. And so I wanted to be like him. So I went to that field. I did, however, also have another, you know, kind of interest. I became close to a cardiologist, and that's actually my first dabbling into food, nutrition, and health. And I assisted Dr. Luria on a chromium study on heart disease. So that's the first time I actually not just looked at it, but actually we actually performed experiments on looking at chromium and the effect of atherosclerosis in animals. So that was quite a few years ago. So I've always had an interest in nutrition.
Yeah.
And then, of course, getting involved in the peanut company and knowing how to navigate science and read scientific journals correctly. I have been very interested in learning more about peanuts and have started, you know, starting to spread the gospel, so to speak, on the health benefits of peanuts. Yeah.
Well, your resume was very impressive. Too long for me to give all in the intro.
Thank you.
So let's get into our discussion about peanuts. From what I've learned from the two of you, they are not only a superfood nutritionally, but they are also super environmentally and ecologically. When Lauren last joined us on the program, we were talking about the miracles of the peanut. I did a couple of articles years ago on George Washington Carver and the work that he did with the peanut. You know, I was so impressed with everything he did with the peanut. And of course, he saved the Southern agriculture because by reintroducing peanuts, correct?
Well, the biggest thing is a nitrogen fixer. We transitioned. Peanuts kind of went from a animal feed to human feed.
Yeah.
You know, early on, and they did a circuitous route. You know, they evolved in probably Peru, maybe parts of Central America.
Yeah.
Then went to Africa and Europe, and then actually came back to North America, probably with Africans.
Interesting.
So kind of went across the Atlantic one way, and then back to us. So the most of the early consumption of peanuts were Black Africans.
Interesting.
In the United States.
Right, right.
And then it was animal feed, then all of a sudden, hey, these are really good.
People were looked down upon for eating peanuts.
Yeah.
You had the peanut gallery idioms that we use.
The Civil War, they were consumed by soldiers.
Kept them alive.
Kept them alive, yeah.
And you call somebody a goober, I suppose that comes from the name. Goober. Well, let's talk a little bit about the nitrogen fixer. I'm sure that a lot of our listeners probably don't quite understand what you're saying there. Can we talk about the plant science a bit?
Well, then? Yeah, they're in the bean or legume family, and they have a symbiotic relationship with a microorganism in their root system, which has the ability to take atmospheric nitrogen and fix it, and to put ammonia or a nitrogen-like fertilizer into the soil, which then makes it available for plants to use, not just the peanuts.
Right. So while other plants take nitrogen, they deplete.
And when we put fertilizer on plants, one of the primary ingredient we put on is nitrogen. You know, there's potassium, and then there's phosphorus, but the big one is nitrogen. But with peanuts, you don't need it. And, one of the things that's come under a little bit of controversial, but scrutiny is, you know, the primary source of nitrogen fertilizers, of course, is natural gas. And that's where all our ammonium plants use it. And there's concern about the environment and global warming and CO2. And, you know, peanuts are a great solution for that. Now, so you grow them in rotation. Generally, you grow peanuts, and then you grow in rotation with generally, you know, corn and cotton. It's a 3-year rotation, so you have to rotate your fields because you don't want disease to build up in the soil. But as far as fertilizer requirements are very low, and water requirements, I think they're a tenth of what an almond requires.
They
require very little water, so they're a great plant in that respect. And so with a lot of southern soils which were depleted by cotton, And you had sharecroppers in the South that, you know, had, you know, this poor soil. You grow peanuts and it replenished the soil. And then you could come back and grow corn and you put fertilizer back into the soil. So that planting cycle, that agricultural endeavor was sort of outlined by George Washington Carver.
Because the soils were getting depleted by cotton and corn. Correct.
But particularly cotton. Right.
Got it. Okay.
From when you plant the peanut to when you harvest it, how long is that?
Months. We plant usually in mid-March, and then this year we're still harvesting, which is rare. Usually we're done in November.
Right. But they have to have dry weather to harvest. Yeah.
We've had really weird weather.
Yeah.
Are they annuals? The plant is an annual or a perennial? Is it? No, you have to replant them.
It's annual. You replant because they're going to follow that field with corn and then cotton.
Oh, okay.
Cotton and corn.
Yeah, right. We go peanut, cotton, corn. Peanut, cotton, corn.
I do want to hold this up. Does this come in very well?
I see it's a pie chart. I can't really.
Yeah, it's a pie chart. Yeah. You can see this is the traditional nuts. Now, this is from the American Journal of Nutrition. This is a peer-reviewed journal, highly reputable. But what it is showing is it's showing percent protein on a comparable weight unit unit of volume. This is not a serving size. And so a lot of times when you read nutritional literature, whatnot, you get lost in that. And I just, for all of the nuts, even soybean flour, I just want you to see that peanuts on a per volume basis provide more protein than any other plant-based.
By quite a bit too.
Yeah, quite a bit. It's up there with soybeans. And there are some studies that show soybeans looked at a different way may provide more protein than peanuts. Yeah. Right now, elite farmers in South Carolina, in fact, the chairman of the board of our company, are growing 5,000 pounds of peanut per acre.
Per acre.
Okay? 5,000 pounds. Now, they can't come close to that anywhere in the world. Actually, China grows the most peanuts, India is second, US is third, Nigeria fourth. But for efficiency, we kill it. We grow it more efficiently than anybody, and we export the most in the world. Where I'm going with this is that if you look at something like hummus, which they use chickpeas, right, and you look at peanuts, or you look at, say, putting chickpeas onto a salad for a protein source, you look at peanuts.
Yeah.
Now, add the fact that there's twice as much on a per volume unit, not a serving size now, per volume unit, a protein for peanuts. Considering the fact that elite chickpea farmers, probably the most productive in the world, are in Oregon, they grow about 2,000 pounds an acre. And we're growing 5,000 pounds here, and we have twice as much protein. Point is, when you want looking at plant-based protein, peanuts can feed the world.
Yeah.
Seriously,
right.
Feed the world. And it's a highly digestible, highly available, bioavailable source of protein for people.
Yeah.
It requires far less water to grow. It's a nitrogen fixer. puts nitrogen back in the soil.
Right.
It's a completely sustainable crop.
Yeah.
It's got so many things going for it as far as feeding our population. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
When you said it wasn't serving size, what were you measuring and in what unit were you measuring?
Okay, this is percent protein per half cup. Cup volume. And yeah, so that'll be 4 ounces volume wise of peanuts, but they're comparing it to a half a cup of soy flour. And the peanut actually has more on a volume basis. And it's pretty extraordinary. And you start thinking about the amount of protein per acre we can pull out of the ground with it. When you're looking at 5,000 pounds per acre, it's staggering.
Yes. That's amazing. Okay, let's delve a bit more into the nutritional aspects of peanuts. I think you have some staggering statistics and info for us on that. What more can you tell us, especially the differences between boiled peanuts and roasted peanuts?
Exactly.
That's the fun part.
So, approximately 10 years ago, a study came out of Alabama A&M, which looked at the micronutrients, the phenolic acids, the flavonoids in peanuts. And those are all the potent antioxidants that have these great life living beneficial effects for humans that can, you know, reduce your risk for cancer and et cetera. And it was found that boiled peanuts have far more of these phenolic acids, flavonoids than roasted or raw. And in fact, any other way, the boiled peanut was far more. And the big one, of course, was resveratrol, which is the ingredient that's found in red wine. Well, it's found in peanuts, but particularly found in boiled peanuts. In fact, boiled peanuts is not quite up there with red wine, but it's close.
Interesting.
And of course, that's the miracle life. Maybe actually, you know, maybe may prolong our life, but its effect seems to be in reducing cardiovascular disease.
Right.
And it's a potent bioactive phenol, and it's a great source of it. Also, it's been shown to have beneficial effects on you know, degenerative disease, and maybe even helping with Alzheimer's. So,
what's the process? Why does boiling bring that to higher levels? I mean, it's got to be already in the plant.
Yeah, get this, it's almost 100 times higher in boiled versus roasted.
Wow,
it's huge, huge.
Yeah,
and we don't know, but we suspect it's the shell.
We think
we boil these in their shells for long periods of time, and we think that that process is carrying these micronutrients from the shell, and it's getting into the kernel where we can consume them, and it's also bioavailable for us.
And of course, when you eat a boiled peanut, normally you want that the juice around it. What do you call that?
Absolutely. Correct about eating a boiled peanut. You've got to put the boiled peanut in your mouth with the shell, right?
Right.
You suck on it. You crack it with your teeth.
Yeah.
You open it up and then you eat it like a little baked potato. But you have to suck on the shell. That's the way to really enjoy one.
So yeah. I told Lauren when she was on before, my ex-wife now, we're still very good friends, so it sounds bad when I say ex-wife, but she grew, well, her family was from Valdosta, Omega area of Georgia.
Oh, sure.
So she didn't grow up there, but she visited them enough that that's like one of her favorite snack foods now. And so she boils peanuts every Thanksgiving, a big pot, and passes them out to her friends in Southern California. But she really lectures about how to correctly eat a boiled peanut.
Like, so you know how to do it.
I've done it many times. Put it in between your teeth, crack it, suck out the juice. I don't know. What do you call that? Juice doesn't sound right, but it's the sauce. Brine.
Yeah,
the
although brine, ours don't have a lot of salt in it. We actually, our preserving, we have about a third of what a small bag of French fries at Wendy's provides you. But still, it's a brine. Yeah,
I think you could call it liquor, right?
Liquor. It's not bad. Yeah, peanut liquor. I like that. That's a great description. Yeah.
Or peanut broth.
Yeah, it is a broth.
Is of course when you boil them, it extracts the oils from the peanuts, so they actually have 40% fewer calories than roasted peanut.
It is a heart healthy oil, but that's why the calories are a little bit less in boiled peanuts, because some of that fat is removed. Yeah. So versus say peanut butter or roasted peanuts, you know, on a per weight basis, the boiled peanuts have fewer calories.
All the protein with a lot fewer calories.
And all the micronutrients. And then you still get fat, but your fat consumption is a little reduced. And it's a very heart healthy fat combination.
Have you ever tried to boil them without salt? Have you ever tried to boil them without salt to see what they taste like?
We have. I don't believe we've done that without salt.
You can, or really pull back.
Pull way back on it. Yeah. You can almost to nothing. We've compared to traditional roadsides, our Luray peanuts have got greatly reduced salt. We don't have a huge salt intake per serving with ours, but
a lot less than the canned ones.
Oh,
a lot less than
the canned. Yeah, I can imagine. Sticks,
A couple other things I really would like to talk about peanuts. So when you look at peanuts, consumption of peanuts in general, you see a reduction, okay? And this has been repeated in multiple large, well-done studies. You see a reduction in disease, sort of case-specific mortality in every disease class in human health. Every disease class. Cancer, heart disease, inflammatory disease, all of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's with regular consumption.
Regular consumption, at least several times a week.
Okay.
What is the definition of regular?
You know, like 2 to 3 times. They looked at two groups: those that consume less than 5 grams on an average per day, those between 5 and 10, and those that consumed more than 10 grams of peanuts or nuts per day on an average. So you could have them, and you had to have them at least once a week. So you could have them a huge blast one day.
Yeah.
For your week, but you couldn't. You had to have them at least once a week. But you on an average, you had to come up the greatest association with your reduction of cause-specific mortality was 10 grams on average per day.
Or more. Okay.
But it can be taken as a large consumption of nuts or peanuts one time a week, or you can have a small meal of peanuts 7 days a week.
Right. And that includes other nuts,
but it's specifically pulled out peanuts by itself. Yeah. And peanuts were specifically inversely related to overall mortality. People who ate peanuts live longer. Hmm. This actually was a study involving 120,000 people. And this is published in the Netherlands. And again, a peer-reviewed journal, International Journal of Epidemiology. And this has been repeated over and over and over again. Here's the paper. Yeah. You can put it on your podcast.
Okay.
One of the things that you'll see a lot of nutritionists talk about is that peanuts, while they're loaded with protein, it's an incomplete protein. That is, that when you look at the ideal protein, of course, it's egg white, right? It's the perfect human right. or protein for human flourishing. And peanuts, they say, are lacking in some of the essential amino acids, but actually that's not true. They are low in three: cysteine, methionine, and tryptophan.
But not lacking.
They're not lacking. They're low.
Right.
But it turns out when you eat peanuts, the bioavailability of the protein is so much higher than other forms of protein. And the absorption is so good that actually the data shows that eating protein from peanuts is very comparable to protein from dairy, which is one of our best sources of protein, without the problems of, dairy fat and some of the other issues.
Right.
So it really is I go back to this. It's a great source of protein.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was always taught that a peanut or a bean was not a complete protein unless you ate it with a grain. But that's correct. Not true.
Yeah, the grain, like a cracker or something, does have it's low in protein, but it does, their protein is really high in the amino acid methionine, so that's how you get it more complete. But it is in peanut, and when you look at the fact that you absorb peanut protein so efficiently, and you break it down and it goes into our system, it's a wash. As I said, it compares quite well to having a glass of milk.
So you don't need the cracker.
You don't need the cracker,
right?
And we need to look at that more. But that's from a group in India. They've looked at that, and they really put out that that because of the bioavailability of the nutritional and peanuts, that it's a much more complete food than we think, and really approaching a superfood. I also might want to say that the American Diabetic Association ranks peanuts as a diabetic superfood because of its high fiber and its glycemic index being so low. They talk about that they've even done studies with glycemic load. Actually, if you eat peanuts with somebody that has a really high glycemic index, like a bagel or orange juice, it actually cuts the overall glycemic load down. And so the American Diabetic Association, says peanuts should be eaten regularly by diabetics to control blood sugar. It's considered one of their superfoods. 100 grams of boiled peanuts provide 3 grams of fiber, high quality fiber. So it's high in high quality fiber.
Right. What about minerals and vitamins?
Okay, so in terms of minerals, I'm gonna read them off to you. 100 grams of peanuts provides you with 127% of your recommended daily allowance for copper, 84% for manganese, 57% for iron, 54% for phosphorus, 42% for magnesium. So those minerals.
Yeah.
It's an excellent source of vitamins. It contains 75% of the 100 grams, has 75% of the recommended daily requirement of niacin, 60% of folate, 53% of thiamine B1, 10% of B2, and 35% of pantothenic acid, which is B5, and 27% of B6, 55% of your requirement for vitamin E.
Oh, wow. Loaded.
So because we absorb them so well, it's not like taking a multivitamin where you just pee it out. We actually absorb all those vitamins.
The best way to get your vitamins is in your natural food.
Right. No question
about it. For whatever reason, we absorb them better, utilize them better when it comes in a meal with natural food rather than a pill.
I haven't checked all the validity of all the studies that I've come across. I haven't studied into them, but I've seen been a lot of studies out there that say that supplemental vitamins don't really do much of anything.
They pass right through us. That's a more eloquent way of saying that, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
I want to talk about them out. That's pretty good too.
Right. I'd like to talk about one other bioactive compound that's very beneficial in peanuts.
Okay.
Peanuts is loaded with arginine. Now, arginine is a semi-essential amino acid. That is to say, we make it. But under biological stress, injury, that kind of thing, we don't do well with it. So an external source of arginine is very, very helpful. Arginine is a precursor to nitric oxide, okay? It helps arterial walls, blood vessels to relax. So it helps blood flow to areas. Oh. Yeah, yeah. So you can see it, you know, heart healthy. It's probably one of the areas where it is. You can also see where I'm going to go with this, because it probably helps male potency. In fact, you know, there are some studies that have suggested that. So arginine is a great, natural way to,
right.
You know, yeah, maybe. Well, I'm not sure, but certainly, yeah. And you know, arginine is the precursor for nitric oxide. That's how Viagra works. So yeah. It's loaded with it. I mean, one cup of peanuts has 5 grams of arginine. I mean, the amount of flavonoids and resveratrol and peanuts are just tremendous. They're up there competing with berries. Well, resveratrol, they exceed berries. There's, again, the only thing that exceeds it is red wine. Yeah. That's boiled peanuts. It's not.
That's eye-opening. You know, I know a lot of people think, oh, peanuts are good for you, protein. But there's so many other things here that you've opened our eyes to.
Well, again,
in such large quantities.
It reduces, mortality, case-specific mortality in every human health category they look at. Again, cancer, heart disease, inflammatory disease. And I had one, if we could talk about one study that I got really excited about.
We've got plenty of
time. I'm going to hold this one up. Okay, here it is. This is called the Aristotle study. Now, this is really well done. And the lead...
Very logical, I bet.
Yeah, the lead investigator is from the University of Barcelona. It's a woman, Dr. Perilli Moser. And it's done in conjunction with Harvard. And they've really looked at and set up really good trials looking at diet and looking at peanuts, among other food sources. And this one specifically, it's randomized. It's really phenomenal. This is not going back and looking at a retrospective cohort study that are very good. This one's a randomized study. Yeah. And what it shows is that eating peanut products, including peanut butter, greatly improves cognitive function in adults and memory.
Hmm.
So the effects of it, and that probably has to do with the fat composition, the healthy oil composition of peanuts, or the micronutrients. We just don't know.
Yeah.
But it's pretty dramatic. This is a really good study. It's
called the Aristotle study.
But it's also out of two really good institutions. And this is, again, in the Clinical Nutrition. And this was just published in the last year. What I'm telling you is from hard, peer-reviewed clinical journals that are scientific journals that have editorial boards that are reading these and don't publish it unless it's well done.
Yeah.
It's not soft science.
I have a question about the nutrition that I don't think we covered, is the fat content of peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
It's the healthy fat, right? What people call healthy fat.
It is. It's turned out it's more beneficial than perhaps initially thought. But
I'm also wondering about the ratio of fat to protein. Like, you know, when you eat a whole egg, you've got a certain amount of fat in the egg.
You are zoning pretty well with just a peanut with a fat, protein, carbohydrate combination.
And going back to what we mentioned earlier, specifically when you boil the peanut, it pulls out some of the oil and fat. So that's why it has about a 40% fewer calorie content than a roasted peanut.
You're still getting a lot of fat.
But it is removed. Some of it, the oils are removed.
Peanuts break down into 50% monounsaturated fat, 33% what are called PFAs or paraformaldehyde, and there's 14% saturated fats. The omegas are a little different there. I think they're the omega-7s rather than the omega-3s. However, this is a super heart healthy fat mixture. And one of the things, of course, you're still getting a little bit of confusing signals from our, you know, the American Heart Association about low fat diets and whatnot. And what is coming out clearly about fat is that regular consumption of beneficial plant-based oils is a healthier and more heart-friendly diet than a low-fat diet. So the low-fat diet is one of the biggest problems we stumbled on. You know, for a while we were no fat and high carbs and protein. We need healthy fats, you know, from fish, from legumes, from nuts, you know, the Mediterranean or the Asian, in fact, the Japanese diet, and peanuts fit into that, you know, very well. So getting back to what you were saying, that there's probably no question that there's benefit from being in the zone, that is that idea of having healthy carbohydrates, healthy fats, and protein.
Yeah, and this is the American Society for Nutrition again.
Oh, obesity risk in women.
Yeah, there's a study they did about long-term weight change and obesity risk specifically in women, where they showed that regular nut consumption, and you know, they specifically looked at peanuts again, really helped control weight. So it's a heart healthy fat that. And it makes you feel full, right? Like those good fats, they help you to feel satiated. Right.
Then you don't want the carbs so much.
Right.
Yeah, very good.
What do you think is the cause of so many people being highly allergic to peanuts?
Okay. Well, there are a couple of things. Peanut allergies are truly a concerning factor, and it's probably the one factor that is a problem with peanut consumption. The biggest factor I think going on now is we didn't introduce peanuts properly early on in children's diet. And I actually have a peer-reviewed paper, several of them, but this is a great paper called the LEAP study. Now this is done in the UK, and they show that introducing peanuts specifically from a boiled product being safer at an early age greatly reduces peanut allergies. We went through a trend where we were not introducing foods early on. It was breast milk, and then, you know, this late introduction to lots of foods, and then food allergies I actually have probably climbed since then. The other issue that has happened is the complete, in the West, at least in the United States, the complete takeover of peanuts being dry roasted. So when you dry roast a peanut, there's 12 proteins that have been identified in peanuts that are the most significant allergens, but you basically super activate those peanut protein allergens so that they bind much more readily to IgE, and the anaphylaxis they produce is much more. As a point in case, Asia, they use more fried and more boiled peanuts to consume relative to dry roasted. And they have a substantially lower rate of peanut allergies. Interestingly, people who are of those ethnic groups, if they're born in the United States, their incidence of peanut allergies is identical to the US, the rest of the population. So we know it's the way we're introducing peanuts, it's not genetic.
The American Academy of Pediatrics has actually retracted their late introduction. It's actually just last year. The National Peanut Board put out a really great podcast on kind of outlining all of that. And they've gone back to early introduction with peanuts because they really have seen a rise in the allergen with late introduction. It's been a big problem. Yeah. And not just in peanuts. I mean, when all food allergens.
So, but the short answer to your question is peanut allergies are a problem. While they're not super common, they are severe. And when they occur, they're frightening. And it's a risk that now on airplanes, they don't want to have someone have peanut anaphylaxis while you're in flight have to either administer emergency care or land the plane or have someone die of an anaphylactic shock. So that's why there are no peanuts on the airplanes right now. Now, to the point, if someone does have a peanut allergy, I am a doctor who feels that your best course of action is to avoid peanuts, any type, unfortunately. There's another topic I'd like to bring up, and there has been a lot of, in certain sectors of social media, a lot of anti-nutritional effects of plants, specifically related to lectins. In fact, there is a cardiothoracic surgeon out there talking about throwing all these plants out of your diet.
Right.
I just want to talk a little bit about lectins. I think this is one of the greatest hoaxes being perpetrated on the American consumer. A lectin is a protein, any protein that bonds to a carbohydrate. And there are just thousands of lectins, and they're finding them new ones every year. And they have highly diverse properties. You know, they've come up with all sorts of things about leaky gut, which is not a bona fide medical condition. But people have likened that to celiac disease, which, because it looks like it temporarily gives you a picture of your intestine like celiac disease. Well, a couple of things. There is a lectin in peanut, which is completely different than any other lectin, which just stands to reason. But here's the kicker. Cooking, particularly boiling, completely deactivates lectins. There are no lectins in boiled peanuts. Zero. It's well published. Most people eat cooked peanuts, roasted and or boiled. There may be minuscule amounts in roasted peanuts, but there are no lectins in boiled peanuts, period. 30 minutes of boiling a peanut destroys all lectins.
Right.
Having said this, somehow this has gone through the nutritional world as well. Cooking and digestion does destroy lectins in vegetables. That's just not true. Cooking does destroy lectins. Everyone's been eating, beans, black beans, and whatnot. They soak them and we cook them. And there are no lectins to speak of in those products. Not only that, the lectins are so diverse that there are lectins that are almost certainly beneficial. So anyone who is out there who might listen to this, who thinks that who've seen this thoracic surgeon on, who wants to sell you his supplements, and this special olive oil that is three times more expensive than anything else on the planet, and that peanuts are full of lectins. I would tell you that boiled peanuts have no lectins, and that is nonsense. There's no scientific basis for what he's saying. I'm sure there are people who follow his diet who feel better because I'm sure that if they follow it, they're going to lose weight because it's so restrictive.
But, I have a question. Green peanuts versus dried peanuts for boiling, is one better than the other?
I'm going to let Lauren answer that question.
Okay, well, the difference is just the moisture content. So you do have your purists who will tell you that they think green peanuts are the best, but the only difference is the moisture content. So the green peanut coming out of the field to be classified as green, it has to have 30% moisture content. Anything below that would be classified as raw. So when you boil them, really, you're just adding water back in. So there really shouldn't be much of a difference at all.
And further on that topic, as you have green peanuts, if you're going to try to keep them in the green state, you really are under a time clock because you're very quickly going to have spoilage and fungal contamination. So
but nutritionally, they're
Identical. Identical. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's only water content.
Some purists will say the taste is a little bit sweeter if you start with a green peanut. Mm-hmm. But I would say that the differences are subtle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We think peanut taste in our product has more to do with the
spices.
The spices and also the peanuts we pick. We primarily do Virginia white skins. Mm-hmm. And that's why they're so mm-hmm. delicious. They take the spice really well. Yeah. We may do Spanish at some time.
I've never had Spanish boiled peanuts. Have you tried them? Are they?
Yeah, the red ones.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, people, there are purists out there that think that the little red Valencias or red runners is what they yeah. call them. They're a Spanish version, have a little bit sweeter taste to them. And they are a little different. We use the Virginia white skins because they absorb the spices that we
put in. And they're bigger.
Yeah. So yeah. if you're, beautiful. They are big. Yeah, they're bigger. And like, if you want to get down to it on a consumer basis, people put more emphasis on size than they do taste.
Yeah.
Right. It's a lot easier to crack them open and eat them. And then whatever we boil them with, they absorb the spices a lot better.
Got it. Yeah. I'm just blown away by how many great nutrients are in the peanut that I did not realize until I started talking to you.
We really think people should eat them several times a week.
Yeah.
It should be part of everyone's diet.
Right.
And it's beneficial for the planet. It's beneficial for longevity. You'll live longer, feel better. It's just a great food source for human flourishing, and it's sustainable.
My husband eats, if you took peanut butter away from him, he'd curl up and just blow away. If that was the only thing he could have on a desert island, that'd be peanut butter.
Yeah, yeah.
Does he eat the natural kind, just peanuts? Or does
no,
he...
we tried that. No, we tried
no, that's the best.
You know what? I'm telling you what is the best peanut butter is Publix store brand.
Really?
It's got so sugar. I don't know who Publix.
Sugar in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like Jiffy, and it's got a little molasses in it, so it's probably not that healthy. You could probably do better.
I go for Smuckers. I like
that. Oh, you like the Smuckers brand?
I'm going for the sugar and the salt and all the good stuff.
I have to say, Smuckers has a really great all-natural one without the sugar. Yeah, they do. You almost can't
That's
tell
what I buy.
A 13-year-old cannot tell the difference.
Oh, nice. So,
I can't eat the other stuff after eating just the natural peanut butter, and the Smuckers brand is really good. Is there any kind of butter made from boiled peanuts like that? Do you make a paste? Not yet. I think that would be good.
Yeah.
Spread.
Yeah. We do too.
That would be a good spread on toast, I think.
Yeah.
Or
crackers. You know, it's the Australians and the New Zealanders eat Vegemite and Marmite. I don't know if you've ever tried those or not. I can't remember.
What are those made of?
It's a quick question. I know, but I've forgotten. But it's very, very salty.
What do you think it would take to get the Americans to catch on to a boiled peanut spread?
Well, first of all, maybe they should get caught onto boiled peanuts, but I don't know. Peanuts. I don't know.
Peanut hummus.
There you go.
Get Taylor Swift to start eating it.
Well, that would help. Yes.
We need at a football game.
A couple few influencers and we're there.
There you go. Where is she from? I think she's from Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a friend who babysat her as a kid.
All right, well, that gets us 2 degrees closer. So
Was she a monster?
We need her to start eating boiled peanuts.
She didn't say she was a monster, but yeah, maybe. She has a documentary film producer like me, and that's how we met. And of course, I've tried to play that card a few times to get support for some films, and she's not going there. she gets asked that a lot. Okay, time to wrap things up. I know you both are busy and probably have other things to do before the day is out, so we'll go on. But before you go, you have to participate in a little ritual we have here at the Produce Buzzers podcast. None of our guests can escape it. Lauren probably remembers. She's probably still hurting from having to endure a homegrown. Teresa loves her puns, so every episode we have to have a pun that's related to the subject matter. And she generally asks it in the form of a question, and we try to guess what the answer is before she tells us. So I'm going to introduce it, and then we'll let her give us the home groan. They're always bad, see, Dr. Flexen, so you have to groan. You can't laugh. You have to groan. So, okay. Okay, Produce Buzzers podcast fans, it's time for your favorite segment on the Produce Buzzers podcast. Yes, it's time for home groan. No, don't run away. Don't turn the volume down. Don't shut the podcast off. You have to stay and be punished. Teresa. Teresa, what is the home groan for the week?
So, why was the peanut so mad at his retirement party?
Okay, let's think this through. Why was the peanut so mad at his retirement party? Cynthia, you got a guess? Peanut at a retirement party. Rick, come on. You always have something.
Because gift was a peanut?
Roasted him at the party?
Oh, nice.
What was that?
They roasted him at the party.
That's it?
Nicely done. Okay.
Well done. More.
What drink did they serve at the peanuts retirement party?
What drink did they serve? Any guesses, Dr. Flexen?
There's no such thing as a nut tail.
I can't get that. I don't know. I just wanted to say, though, he was probably, after being roasted, he was probably boiling mad.
Oh, boiling mad. Yeah.
Love it.
Okay. Yeah. What kind of drinks did they serve at his retirement party?
Peanut coladas.
Yeah, you like the big thumbs up on the first one, and then like total bomb.
No, that was not only making us groan, it was kind of turning our stomach.
Yeah.
Well, this has been fascinating. We really appreciate you joining us. We'd like to have you back again. Especially if you've got some new products coming.
We are just now coming out with a raw peanut product for people to boil their own, but it's in a mesh bag.
Yeah. So listeners, go to your local grocery store, ask and demand Luray peanuts, boiled packaged in their freezer section, I believe is where you will find them.
Refrigerated produce.
Yeah.
No, refrigerated produce. Okay.
Yeah, they're thawed out and they're good for 30 days.
Okay. You mentioned something
right next
about
to
a
your
freezer.
Cup
they're
fruit.
Refrigerated.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So they'll be in the refrigerated section of your produce. If they're not, talk to your produce manager, your store manager, and ask for them.
Demand them.
Demand them. And I know all my northern friends out there, my West Coast friends, you're like, boiled peanuts? What? You got to try them. They are delicious.
We will have them to the rest of the country in the next 2 to 3 years.
Fantastic. Yeah. And I don't think we talked about it, but you're in some sports arenas as well, notably the Jacksonville Jaguars. So, I've got some friends in Jacksonville. When you go to the Jaguars games, look for Luray peanuts.
Yep. They have the peanut pickoff. So every time they make an interception, we donate a little to the youth football programs there in Jacksonville.
Oh, fantastic. That's great.
With help of Andre Sisco is our spokesperson.
Great. That's fantastic. So, all right. Well, this has been fun once again. It's always a really interesting discussion when you're on. So I hope to have you back. And I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
For 2024.
It's going to be exciting.
Yes.
Dr. Flexen, thank you so much. Very interesting. Yes,
thank you for having me.
Thanks again.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Okay.
Bye. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Bye, guys.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, listeners, for tuning in to the Produce Buzzers podcast, brought to you by Produce Buzz, the gathering place for lovers of fresh fruits and veggies. We hope you were entertained a bit and educated a lot about fresh produce. Be sure to join us next time, and please tell your friends to do so as well. Like, share, and comment on our Produce Buzz Facebook page. And check out our website at www.producebuzz.com. There you will find articles about fresh fruits and veggies, how to select, store, and prepare them, as well as lots of interesting facts about all the wonderful bounty the earth provides for us. Until next time, be fruitful, and don't forget to veg out.